happening in the cricket world. So much to unpack. We've got about 18 minutes to do that in, so we'll do the best we can with our cricket correspondent, Kevin Rademacher. Kevin, good to have you back on the show. Good evening.
Good evening, Michael. How are you doing?
I'll tell you in about 3 hours, as I'm sure you will as well, with key matches tonight. I have to, we start our chats like this, and it's great for the world of sport. I see you playing Oxford United in a short while, their side that beat us on the opening day, and they're doing remarkably well. And we're playing our nemesis side, Leeds United, at home. So key fixtures for both of us in the next few hours.
Very key. I think more key for us being Luton Town than you. We once again lost on Saturday.
Yeah.
3-1. The coach is pretty much in the same position as Rob Walters, I guess. Had a good start to his career, and now we are losing. You at least had a great victory over Derby the weekend, 3-2 victory. So you're gaining some momentum.
Yeah, but that momentum could very, very quickly come to an end against our former coach tonight, Daniel Farke. Anyhow, let's talk cricket. There's so much to unpack with you. I'm going to try and do the best I can in terms of extracting as much info as we possibly can in the time we've got, Kevin, and I know you're the man to do it for us. Let's start with the men. Shukri Conrad announcing his squad for Bangladesh today. Firstly, I'd just like your thoughts on the Ireland T20 series, which was drawn 1-1. South Africa seemed to have things under control and then remarkably fell apart completely towards the second half of that effort the other night. But they've got an ODI series of 3 matches to play to try and put that to bed and look forward.
You're correct. We had quite a comprehensive victory in that first match, if you can remember. We won it quite by 8 wickets, quite convincingly. And then we did have it under control. We were chasing 195. We were 121 after 12 overs for 2 wickets, everything in control. Hendricks was getting some runs. Briesco was getting runs. Both got their 50s. And then they contrived to lose it again. The bowling definitely was good, and the fielding was good from Ireland side. But you would think our players would be able to have taken it back from there. But once again, a loss, and we threw away the series victory.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit worrying. It's a pity there wasn't a third match just to try and decide that series. So series shared. Before that, of course, the Afghanistan series was lost. It's not looking great for the South African side. You've given us many of the extenuating circumstances, the fact that the side were maybe unprepared in terms of going into that Afghanistan series initially. But what do we make of the results that the men's side are getting so far, and what sort of impact is this likely to have down the line?
Well, let's start, yeah. Rob Walters hasn't actually won a T20 series since he's taken over. We've lost 3 times to the West Indies, 2 away. One was before the World Cup, 1 after, 1 was in South Africa. We've lost to Afghanistan, like you said. We lost to India, in December. We lost to Australia just before that. So that's 6 series in a row that we've lost T20 series, and obviously one that's drawn, which is very, very, very worrying because South Africans want to win. Now, the counter-argument is that less than three months ago, we were in the final of the T20 World Cup for the first time. Mm. Now, a couple of months later, we're in the doldrums. And like we spoke about last time on your show, last week, this time actually, is we've lost the experienced players. We've got young players, and which are experienced at the domestic level, but they're not experienced at international level, and I think it could be telling on them. The middle order, it's extremely difficult to come in the UAE in the middle there. The temperatures are hot, the ball is spinning, and you need experience for that. You need some cool heads, and as soon as you don't have the cool heads or the experience around you, I think you're going to struggle at all times.
But Ireland, by contrast, seemed to have very cool heads under pressure, and they just collected wicket after wicket when it seems that the game was slipping away from them. They picked up the vital wicket of Stubbs the other night, and then, of course, Briesco was well set, got out, and then all of a sudden, wickets just fell like dominoes. So are Ireland on the up and up as far as the cricketing world is concerned, or was it just poor game management by the South African side?
Well, Ireland also didn't play white ball cricket for a while before that, which is even more concerning. They played a test match in Zimbabwe a couple of weeks before the T20. So they came fresh. They got battered in that first game, like I said. And I think we just lost our cool. I think we had it in the bag. I think also losing becomes a habit as much as winning becomes a habit. And we just didn't show enough resilience. People like Stubbs, players like Stubbs, players like Hendricks should have the experience. And I don't want to keep making excuses. I'm one of the more positive people about South African cricket. But I do think the spectators and the actual fans are losing a bit of empathy at this point.
Mm. Kevin, let's switch to the women's side of things. The T20 World Cup starting in a couple of days. South Africa play their opening game on Friday. Their warm-up game today against India. At one stage, they seem to have things nicely under control. Of course, Ayabonga Kaka with a superb bowling performance, 5 for 25, collecting 3 wickets in that final over, which India went into at 137 for 4 and ended on 144 for 7. South Africa started okay, but nobody really went on. And in the end, they sort of stuttered to a 28-run defeat. How worrying is this ahead of this tournament?
I think what was more worrying was the game before where we played New Zealand and we were all out for 92. And Wolfart was on her own, scored 33, top scorer. Today she was the top scorer again. So it is concerning because we can't always just rely on her as well. And if she does fail, who's going to back her up? With India today, their star player Varma actually got a duck, and that's why they stuck it for a while. But they had enough experience, they had enough depth to get to a reasonable total. And once again, the wicket started spinning, and we really struggled to keep up with the pace. And like you said, 28 runs short again. So that's 2 losses going into a World Cup, which is starting our first games on the 4th of October against the West Indies, who are doing well against Australia today, surprisingly.
Yes, absolutely. So, as you say, South Africa play the West Indies in the opening game on Friday, and then on Monday they play England. So, arguably, their two toughest fixtures in the group come first and second. Then they have a bit of a respite. If they can produce a win or even 2 wins in their opening games, then they play Scotland in their third match. That should be a win on paper, although you never know these days. And they finish, of course, against Bangladesh. 2 wins, maybe 3 wins. Well, 3 wins will certainly get them through into the semifinals, but 2 wins, I suppose, gives them a chance as things stand at the moment. Just how do you see their lead in, given this we've discussed last week, that they are in the easier, by far the easier, of the two groups?
They're in the easier, and that's great on one hand. On the other hand, that means they're either, in all probability, if they get through, they're going to be facing the same India that we played today, or Australia, if it goes right by the seedings, which is an incredibly difficult task in the semi-final. However, if you're going to win the World Cup, you're going to have to beat the best teams.
Mm.
I don't know if we have the form or the depth at the moment, and we can only go in terms of history and in terms of latest results. They did beat Pakistan, luckily, 2-1. We spoke about it last week. But these last two matches have been a bit concerning. New Zealand are also in the other group, so that is a very difficult group to get through for those teams. But also saying that, do not count out Bangladesh on those wickets.
Mm.
Bangladesh have some great spinners, and they're also finding a better form at the moment.
Kevin, let me ask you briefly about the local series, the T20 competition, T20 Challenge, I believe it's called. Bit of a mismatch in the opening game at the Wanderers on Friday evening. The Titans side, who just found that pitch so easy, at one stage looks as if they were going to reach 300, and then having the Lions something like 8 for 5 in reply. I mean, it was just a complete chalk and cheese. The Lions in the end got to an inverted commas respectable score, but were still thrashed in the opening game. Just give us a sense of how things are developing as far as that's concerned, because there have been a few matches played already in this tournament.
There have been, most of the sides have played one game now. Like you say, Titans definitely stood out at the Wanderers on Friday night. Some brilliant performances all round. And like you say, at some point it was going to be 290, 300. They just fell short. And then the Lions imploded at the beginning, chasing that big score. The Dragons also won, thanks to the rain. They won narrowly by 2 runs. But we should have more clarity this week. There's some more games coming up, and it's quite a condensed competition this year. Last year there were 2 rounds. This year there's only going to be 1 round, which is going to make it more exciting. Every result is going to be important. But I do think the like of the Titans will stand out. I think the Lions will still come back. And probably even do not count out people like the Knights and that kind of stuff as well. No team is out of it, or even the Dragons. Dragons had a good season last year, and some of the guys are performing. I see even in the SA20 today, Ruben Herrmann got picked up. after his great performance for the Dragons last year. Mm-hmm. So is once again, it's a platform for guys to get contracts overseas or for the SA20.
All right, let's talk about that. That's the big news of the day is the auction that was taking place. Just to explain to us how the slots work and how the whole process works in terms of the bidding, because it seems like quite a complicated operation. I've noticed a lot of our local players were not getting picked up. So do they go back into the auction for another round, or do they become free agents? Just explain how the whole system works before I ask you about individual players.
Well, look, the main auction was, it's almost 3 years ago now, right at the start, where they would buy players and they would secure people, and that was for 2 years. That 2 years came to an end last season now. This auction wasn't as extended because most of the squads already got their players up front. There were only, I believe, 13 slots, including rookies that had to be taken today. Or excluding the rookies, there was only 13 slots. So there wasn't many people that could actually be bought today. The surprising one was Reeza Hendricks. There was a bidding war between the MI Cape Town and Pretoria Capitals, with MI Cape Town eventually getting him for $4.3 million, which is a surprise. There's been a lot of negativity around Reeza and the T20s, but he was the highest seller today. Gleeson went for 2.3 to the Sunrisers, and Capitals picked up Evan Lewis. The top South African was Marky Ackerman at 800,000 to the Capitals. Evan Jones went for 175, which was the base price. Ingram went for the base price, and like I said, Ruben Herrmann as well. So there weren't many spots up for grabs today. The squads did all their work up front. They did their trading up front, so it wasn't as comprehensive as normal.
So what happens to those players that weren't picked up today? Do they go back to their provinces, so to speak? Do they become free agents? Just explain how the system works for them, because they were obviously hoping that somebody would snap them up. It hasn't happened. So where do they go in the cricketing pool, so to speak?
Well, and you're correct. I believe if I heard right today at the auction, there was over 400 people who actually wanted to be part of today's auction for those few spots. What happened is they all could be taken in the first round. No one took them. Then the team could select up to five names of who they wanted to come for the second round, and then they could auction and bid on those people. And then there was the rookie picks. Each team needed the rookie. Those players that didn't get picked up, well, they can only be picked up if there's injuries or if people pull out or withdraw at a later stage, then some of those can be picked up as well. But it's very competitive. We saw some great names. We saw some ex-great names, Guptill, for instance, from New Zealand.
Yeah.
No bids on him, not even at a base price. Themba Bavuma, very low base price of 175,000 rand, zero bids as well. So, yeah, it's very cutthroat out there, and it's not easy to make those few spots.
Kevin, let me ask you now just briefly, we've discussed so many different topics in a short space of time. Just run through for our cricket fans out there, for people who want to follow the game, exactly what is going to be happening in the cricket world, let's say over the next 3 or 4 months, both men and women. Just highlight upcoming series, domestic competitions, just what exactly is going on so people can mark it on their calendar and know, okay, this is what we need to listen out for.
Okay, let me not try and make it too competitive because there's a lot of cricket coming up.
Right.
But I think the first thing is tomorrow, it's obviously South Africa versus Iceland. Like you said, the three ODIs. It's tomorrow, Friday and Monday. It's going to be played in Abu Dhabi. People can tune in from 1:30. And I'm encouraging people not to lose faith in the team. Keep going. Then our men have the test series in Bangladesh, starting on the 21st of October is the first test. 29th of October is the second test. That is going to be played in Bangladesh, and they named the squad today as well. So a bit of test cricket for a change. Then we come back and we play Sri Lanka in a test series in Durban, I believe, and in the Eastern Cape. India also come after that for four T20 games, and that is in November. It ends on the 15th of November, if I'm correct, in Johannesburg. And then we have Pakistan coming for the men for T20, ODIs, and obviously the the Boxing Day test match in Centurion and the New Year's match in Cape Town. If I turn to the women, like we said, immediately coming up front is on the 4th of October. The World Cup is starting against the West Indies, and we've got to try and win at least, like you say, two or three of those games in our pool and hope for the best in the semi-final. After that, then next year we're looking at the SA20 in early January, and then we're going to go play the Champions Cup in February. So it's going to be a jam-packed season.
Indeed so, and we will prevail upon you many, many more times over the course of the next few months to chat to us about everything that's happening. Kevin, as always, great to chat to you. Good luck for Oxford tonight. I hope it goes well for Luton and they get back to where they need to be as far as the log table is concerned. Thanks for your comprehensive coverage, effectively, of all our cricket content on the show. Really appreciate it, and enjoy the World Cup.
I just wanted to make one more note. Congrats on the rugby commentary on Saturday. Brilliant. I tuned off the TV commentary, put it on the radio. Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you very much. You're very kind. I've been rewarded by not getting a single commentary match this coming month, so we'll see what happens. Swings and roundabouts, I suppose. Thanks so much, Kevin. Great to chat to you, as always.
Have a lovely evening.